We're going to spend some time this morning on theme, talking about the presence of God. And what does it mean to be a Christian? That's the whole point of this series of messages that we're working through. And we've been kind of working through this little triangle diagram, talking about these three significant areas. And this is just kind of a little gift from our late brother, Dallas Willard, who blessed us with this little thought about a golden triangle. What does it mean to enter into the life that Jesus has invited us into? Interaction with the Spirit. Day by day, moment by moment, practicing greater awareness and attentiveness to the presence and empowerment of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And last week, we basically did a biblical theology. I didn't really use that phrase last week, but we took the theme of God's presence and we followed it all the way from Genesis, all the way from the garden, all the way to Revelation 21, and showed how from beginning to end, one of the most significant and central themes in all of Scripture, and some argue it is the central driving theme of all Scripture, is the idea that God created us for relationship in His presence and partnership with Him in His rule over creation. We were designed to live in God's presence. And sin and our rebellion and our desire for our own autonomy and our desire to want to do and determine what's right and best for ourselves, that keeps us from the presence of God, or that just keeps us from our experiencing God's presence in the way that He designed for us to. And the whole story of Scripture, and we often think of Scripture, we usually focus on the idea of redemption, that Scripture is a story of redemption, and it is. We talk about the meta-narrative of Scripture, we talk about creation, fall, redemption, restoration, and we often view Scripture and we read it, again, not necessarily, this isn't a bad thing, but we place a great emphasis on the importance of our individual salvation or salvation from our sin or forgiveness of our sin and the importance of that. Incredibly important. But what was such a big deal with our sin that we needed saving from, right? We usually focus on the penalty of our sin. Well, we needed to be saved from a penalty of our sins, which is death. But our salvation from sin was not just a salvation from something, it was a salvation for something. We were saved not to just be rescued from a penalty of sin, we were saved so that we could enter into the presence of God. We were saved so that we could enjoy daily, moment by moment, fellowship with God, living in His presence. And the way that that is possible for us, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, means there is never a moment where we are not in God's presence. We do not attain to God's presence. We don't strive to figure out some kind of way to just white knuckle our way into enjoying God's presence. God is always present in us and within us. What's lacking is our attention, our awareness, our practice of that presence. And so all of these things come together. Spiritual disciplines, spiritual practices, those are some of the ways that we can actively, intentionally practice that presence and all different kinds of ways that these things go together. But even our faithful acceptance of daily trials and struggles and frustrations and the little crosses we bear, the ways we have to come to grips with our own wants and desires and longings and frustrations. Even in those moments, we can learn greater awareness of the Spirit's presence and activity and involvement in those things that we're doing. So we're just continuing to build on these ideas. And last week I promised, I said, we're going to do something that hopefully makes this a little bit more tangible and practical today. We're going to talk about a particular spiritual discipline or spiritual practice from that side of the triangle that is one way, it's not the only way, but it is one way that we can practice training the muscles of our minds and our hearts. Some people refer to things like this kind of meditation, or they'll use the word mindfulness. And I recently reading an author who used the term heartfulness, that idea of just not just our thinking, but just our whole being, head, mind, heart, soul, spirit. A practice that we can engage in that just works those muscles of attentiveness and awareness of God's presence, which we often fail to do in the moment. In any given moment of our day and moments of our life, for me, and this is probably true for most of us, but I'll say for me, the default is I'm just living and responding to whatever is happening. And don't usually have the presence of mind and heart to be thinking, Lord, where are you in this right now, right? Because normally when that emotional wheel starts spinning and something is triggering a frustration or a sadness or whatever it might be, normally it's a, okay, like we're on that road. And for most of us, we probably have not intentionally trained ourselves to pause and breathe and say, Lord, what are you doing in this? How are you present in this? And not even just in a way of looking for the answer from God, like, God, tell me what to do right now, but just practicing that awareness and attentiveness to his loving presence. So a practice that helps train us to do that more and more is something that I've referred to in the past. And Parker, I'm going to have you pass this out. But it's called the examine, which is the Latin word for examine. Or to test, or to, you know, to review, or to look intently at something. And I think, I think I have a passage of scripture on here, but let's go to that last slide, Andrew, to this. Yeah. Practicing the presence of God with the awareness examine, or some just refer to it as the prayer of examine, or just simply the examine. And Ignatius of Loyola was a spiritual leader, a church leader, technically in the Catholic Church in the 16th century. So there was a lot of stuff happening in the 16th century, if you're familiar with church history. This was a significant time on kind of riding the wave of the Protestant Reformation. And there were guys like Ignatius, faithful believers, Catholic theologians who were still like, okay, well, we're still going to do our thing and we're still going to lean into some of the best, most robust even theologically sound teaching on practicing a whole person embodied relationship with God comes from our Catholic brothers and sisters from all throughout church history, okay? So technically, you know, any church that is not Catholic falls into this, like, you know, Protestant, you know, category. And there's been a, depending on the church stream that you grew up in, you know, there's a spectrum of what Protestant means and how that gets expressed to from people saying, like, you know, everyone in the, you can't be Catholic and be a Christian at the same time, you know, that those things are mutually exclusive, to some people who are like, yeah, it just doesn't even matter. Yeah, you know, nothing, you know, they think these things, it's like, no, there are things, we obviously, we're not Catholic, so there are things we disagree with about Catholic theology and certain interpretations. In the same way that we Christians have disagreements on a lot of different things. But we can take and glean what is good and beautiful and true from any source. So I don't think that's very controversial for anyone in here, but I still felt it's important to say. So you hear my heart on that. But his actual given name is Inigo. So I just want you to appreciate that. So maybe along with me, every time you see his name, you can just hear him saying, my name is Inigo, right? And I just see, it makes me like him even more, okay, right? So that's just me. I don't know if that just strikes a chord with all of you or not, but so we're going to practice this. And there's lots of renditions of this and ways. So I've kind of gleaned from some different sources and put something together on paper here for us that I think will be helpful. And I'm going to talk through it a little bit. We're going to read a passage of scripture that really kind of serves as an anchor for this practice. And then I'm just going to give us some time to do it here and practice this before we leave. And I want to encourage us to, I can't make anybody do this, but I will tell you, if you practice this daily at the end of your day, this practice of looking back over your day and looking for the presence of God, instead of scrolling on your phone or mindlessly doing some other activity, if you create time and space to clear your mind of everything else and you look back on your day intentionally looking for where God was showing up and you just didn't realize it in the moment, this will rewire your brain, this will change your life, and this will enable you slowly, not overnight. This is like going to the gym. This is about training, not trying. But over time, you will become more aware and attentive of the Spirit's presence in your life moment by moment throughout your day. Because you're working that muscle of considering and looking for and being attentive. And this is just how things work and happen. But before we look at the practice itself, I want us to kind of set the stage here. And technically, we're practicing together this first part together, this slowing down. Take a deep breath. Acknowledge God is present with us. But I want to read this from Psalm 139, a psalm of David. It says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You've placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It's lofty. I'm unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I fly on the wings of the dawn and settle down on the western horizon, even there, your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast is their sum. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. And search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns and see if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way that's everlasting. Search me, test me. Know my concerns and see if there's any offensive way in me. That's kind of the idea of this practice of the examine. It's a practice of looking back, and in a sense, we're envisioning ourselves basically looking back through our day with the Lord. And we're asking to kind of sit with him as he examines us. And he walks us back through the day. And you can kind of see some description on here. I'll just talk through this a little bit to explain some of the terminology that's on here. But this idea of reviewing the day, like looking out the window of a moving vehicle and noticing what you see, asking God to lead your thoughts, and even asking God, Lord, would you highlight things for me? Help me to see. This is kind of the idea. It's very similar to, like, if you're thinking about sports, one of the things that athletes do to learn and grow and become better at recognizing things in a real game is almost the very first thing they do after a real game is they watch the film. They do a debrief. And in so many other professions, this is a normal, almost essential activity. But if we stick with this idea of watching the film, you're just going through the film, frame by frame, play by play, and you're just noticing. What happened? What did I do? What were you thinking here, right? Like, what were you thinking when this happened, right? And there's something about viewing it as an observer that you're like, oh, yeah. And just the practice of doing that is part of the training process. It's not always possible to do that in the moment, in the real thing, in the real game. But this is a practice that's done off the field to create greater awareness over time. It's training our minds for greater awareness and attentiveness in the real moments that are yet to come. So we're watching the film of our day with the Lord. And Ignatius, when he talks about this practice, and he wrote a book called Spiritual Exercises. And so this is one of the ones that has really kind of stood the test of time that God's people have practiced for hundreds of years. But he writes about focusing in on moments when you felt aligned with God or aware of his presence. And he uses the word consolation or consolations for this. This is the idea that it's like, man, yes, you see this moment and you can look back to it and you can see this moment as, man, that was just a gift from God. And as we read in James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. And I can look at that moment, and I may not have been actively, attentively aware of this in that moment, but I can go back and I can say, Lord, thank you for that moment. And I can acknowledge that that was the Lord. I was in his presence. That consolation, that goodness, that alignment, that sense of, man, this is life. This is the good life in this moment. That's from the Lord. And I can just kind of go back in that moment watching that film, and I can acknowledge that, receive that gift, and respond with that gracious gratitude to the Lord for that moment. And then on the other side of that coin, Ignatius wrote about this idea of desolations. Looking for a moment or moments, but you don't want to get too overwhelmed here, right? If you're like, man, every moment of my day was really bad. Just kind of start somewhere, right? Start with one play. Focus on one play in the film here. The idea of desolation is like something was off. There was turbulence, is the word that I put in there. It's clear that I would like just, yeah, whether it was frustration, anger, I felt just out of sorts, sadness, depressed. Observe it. What were you doing? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? And we read here, Psalm 39. Search me, God, know my heart, test me, know my concerns. Where was your heart in relation to God in that moment? Right? And for most of us, we're looking back on those moments and you're like, my heart in relation to God, like I was not even thinking about God in that moment, probably, right? And that's part of the training. But maybe you were, and maybe you were just angry at God. Maybe you were frustrated. Maybe you were saying, why God, right? Like, so that's a possibility, but kind of go there for yourself and reflect on this question. And if you can, sometimes there's layers to this, but what was your deepest desire in that moment? Keeping in mind, there's surface-level desires, what we want in a particular moment, but oftentimes beneath that surface-level desire, like I just want my kids to be quiet, right? That's a surface-level desire. I want my child to stop asking me questions. That is what I want right now, right? But if we just, you just pull that thread just keep pulling it, what was really the longing in my heart in that moment? What was it that I really wanted? What was really going on in my soul? And you may not always get there, because again, this is a practice thing, but prayerfully say, Lord, show me. What was I really looking for? Examine me, test me, show me. And talk with God about what was on your heart. And again, reflect on the reality that even in that moment of desolation, God was present there. And consider, what would it have looked like for me to turn my attention to him in that moment? The next step of repentance is, as we're going through that process, if you identify moments of sin or disordered attachment, right? We talk about idolatry, the idea of our heart being overly attached to something. For, again, whatever that deepest longing is, was my heart just overly attached to something or some surface level thing? For a deeper longing, looking somewhere beyond Christ, beyond his presence, to satisfy something that just cannot, or turning a maybe even a good thing into an ultimate thing. And just acknowledging that. Was there a moment where I was seeking my kingdom over God's kingdom? Acknowledging that. Pray for forgiveness. Pray for healing. And I could say too, Ignatius talked about desolations in really kind of two sides to this desolation coin. It's possible that if I'm feeling some kind of, you know, again, using his word desolation, but we could use the word turbulence, like, man, just something is off, something is not right here in this moment. One option to this is, it could be this, you know, this. There's a disordered attachment happening here, where I'm looking to or longing for something, but I'm looking to a source to meet that need somewhere other than the Lord. And naturally, when we do that, and we're not living in alignment, we're not living in awareness of the goodness of his presence and all the what we have in him, all of our heart's deepest longings can only find their fulfillment in Christ. And so when we're not in alignment with that, there's going to be turbulence in our heart and in our life. That's just the natural, that's the frequency we were designed to operate on. But Ignatius talks about another cause of turbulence can be that the Lord is really trying to move us in a particular direction. And this again, a little bit mysterious, but this is that idea that the Lord can lead us and move us and prompt us through our emotions. God created our emotions. He designed them for a purpose. And the Spirit that dwells in us can move us and prompt us using our emotions. So there are times where if I'm feeling this turbulence and something is not right, right, this could be the Spirit telling me, not I'm doing something wrong necessarily, not I'm living out of step with his Spirit, but he could be telling me, I could be very aware of the Spirit's presence in my life and feeling like, okay, the Spirit, and there's a need for attentiveness there. He may be saying, through my emotions, there is something better that I have for you than the current trajectory you're on. And that doesn't mean I'm necessarily sinning or my love is out of order or I'm putting something in his place. It could just mean, man, he is moving me here. He's stirring something inside of me and I need to pay attention to that. We sometimes operate in or with an assumption that our God has somehow sanctified our thinking a lot, and God has chosen our thinking as like the holy sanctified way of making all decisions in life. But God doesn't work through our emotions. All of our emotions are evil and wicked, right? Because the heart is deceptive, right? You know, there's that one verse in Proverbs that says the heart is, or Jeremiah, the heart is deceitfully wicked. It's like, it is. But our thinking is, right, it's talking about our flesh, okay? The Spirit can lead and move and prompt us with our thinking, but also with our feeling. And so that's the whole idea here of paying attention to these things with the Lord, with a prayerful attentiveness to the Spirit. And then that last piece, looking ahead. Pray for grace to navigate the day ahead with that greater awareness of God's presence and a willingness to embrace whatever happens. So, with the last 15 minutes or so that we have here, I'm just going to invite us to practice this together. Slow down. Review your day. You could think about the last 24 hours, or maybe, depending on what time your infant woke you up this morning, you might have enough material just for, that wake-up call to right now, whatever works for you. But normally, you're thinking of, you know, the last 24-hour period, something like that, because if you go further than that, it's like, okay, what even happened? I don't even remember. But slow down, review your day, and work through each step. And maybe I'll give us 10 minutes, and I'll give a few minutes for anyone who may want to share if there was something meaningful that stood out to them from this. So you may begin. Another layer to this process and the observing piece of this is practicing this, we learn to become more attentive to the Spirit's presence in these moments. We also learn to be more observant of our own patterns and our own ways of being and our own ways of, like, I do this long enough and I start to realize I have a habit of, I respond in a particular way in certain situations, and it's like, it's a habit. And I have some kind of ingrained ways of being in different situations, things that I probably learned, things that I had to learn to kind of deal with certain circumstances or deal with certain issues, probably even all the way going back to my childhood, right? I had to learn some ways of reacting in certain situations, right? Reacting to questions that people ask me, right? I was like, that probably comes from somewhere. And learning to even kind of lean into those things and saying, Lord, where does this come from in me? And pulling on those threads. So we, in observing the Lord's presence, we learn to walk in that, but we also begin to hopefully learn more about ourselves and identifying and greater awareness of how and why and when we do the things we do. Things that, some of those things maybe aren't bad, but some of them probably should be refined and tweaked, and that refining and tweaking and growth, talking about just growing as people, that cannot happen without awareness. And so practicing this awareness is such a foundational piece to us growing intentionally and on purpose, cooperating with the Spirit as He forms us into people who practice the way of being like Jesus. And the very last thing is just acknowledging that our greatest, right now in the world that we live in, the single greatest enemy of our attention and awareness of God's presence in our life is technology and infinity scroll. And we live in a world where you can go from the moment you wake to the moment you put your head on a pillow, and you can have zero dead time in your mind to just be present and to acknowledge his presence. We are addicted and so afraid of being alone with our thoughts that every waking moment where we don't have something to do or we feel bored, we beeline to a screen or an input because we don't want to do this kind of stuff. And so even that is something we grow in our awareness and attentiveness to that. That should be part of this reviewing the film of our day is, when am I running to distraction on a screen or on a scroll or on social media? How much of that is consuming my life? Statistically, the numbers are really, really bad for the average American. We're not average people here in this room. You guys are pretty amazing. But that is a big part of all of this. So since we spent 10 minutes in prayer, I'm not going to close in prayer, but I hope that's helpful. And again, my encouragement to you is consider just making this bedtime, evening, some kind of regular practice this week, and tell me how it goes. I'm going to be asking you, is this helpful? Are you, and if we need to tweak it or refine it, but let's keep doing it. Let's have a great week.